In this episode, I talk about sex therapy and when is a good time for you to go. What indicators are happening in your relationship or just even with yourself that might make you a good candidate? I get this question a lot. It's different than just regular talk therapy. So when's a good time to go see a sex therapist? So tune in and find out the answer to that. Welcome back to The Pleasure Project with Dr. Jen Kennedy. Today's topic, I think, is going to be a big one. It's when is it time to see a sex therapist? Not just your therapist, not just your standard talk therapist that helps you with relationship stuff or mood imbalance or that type of thing, but specifically a sex therapist. I get this question pretty often. People can't completely understand what it is that I do at my private practice. And so I think it would be helpful to break it down. So yes, I definitely see people with all kinds of problems, but specifically focusing on sex therapy. And what's interesting to me about sex therapy is oftentimes it's not about sex. Now, it can be, of course, but oftentimes it's about other things too. So I wanted to kind of break it down in a way that made sense. And it occurred to me this morning that there are the three D's of when it is time to see a sex therapist. The first being dysfunction. That one comes in a lot. People reach out and say, hey, things aren't working like they should, or they aren't working, more importantly, like they used to, right? We always look at previous functioning to understand where are people in their journey. And if it's different than how it used to work, that is an important delineation. So dysfunction can look like many things. In men, it typically comes in as erectile dysfunction. Either they can't get an erection, or their erections are sort of midway, kind of soft, or they don't last as long as they want them to. They feel like they can't sustain an erection. So there's a whole litany of issues around erectile functioning, and some of those have to do with health. You know, that can be related to your blood pressure. It can be related to your medications that you're taking. So that's part of the unpacking of all of this that we would do in sex therapy, is understand, when did the problem start? How long does it last? Does it always happen, or is it only sometimes happening in certain circumstances, to try to isolate, like, what is the cause, and then therefore what is the solution? Within dysfunction in women, I see typically pain. Sex should not be painful. So if there's pain with penetration, then typically something else is going on. And that might be a function of, like, if you've had surgery. It might also be if you're menopausal or postmenopausal. Things tend to get a little bit drier down there. So sometimes it's a matter of understanding, like, has there been something medically that has happened that has caused more pain? And if so, then the treatment looks different, right? Sometimes it's about using lubrication. Sometimes it's about more preparation for her. It kind of depends. If sometimes there can be like a vaginal cyst that could be causing it. Like, there's different causes of pain. Sometimes it can also be psychosomatic. There's an involuntary spasming that can happen that can cause pain, and that often is associated with trauma or with somebody who's just not ready for penetrative sex. So pain is another thing that brings folks in. Non-concordance can feel like dysfunction, meaning your body's not responding in the way you wanted it to, like you were having desire, but you're not having arousal. Your body's not responding. And arousal can look like an erection. It can also look like, for a woman, having blood flow, having swelling, having responsiveness in the body. And that's very confusing for people. I want it, or I do want it, and it's not, my body's not responding. So that happens throughout the life cycle for different reasons. It also happens in response to certain circumstances. Another dysfunctional presentation that sometimes brings people into sex therapy is orgasm disorder. So that's having difficulty, either persistent or recurrent, but a difficulty achieving orgasm after sufficient sexual arousal, right? So it's not just like you can't do it on, you know, on command, or you, but it's like with sufficient arousal, you can't actually get there. And so that's a very frustrating thing. That can be related to your pelvic floor. That can be related to your mind that won't shut off. Different things can cause that. So we have to unpack it and figure that out. Okay, so that's dysfunction. Those are some common dysfunctions that bring people in. Category two is dissatisfaction. This is also a really big one. And this sometimes is individuals coming in. This is actually something we talk a lot about in my small group, the Pleasure Circle, is dissatisfaction, right? It's not that you don't want sex, it's that you don't want the sex that you're having. So a lot of times that's like, I don't know how to tell my partner that I want something different, or that I don't like the pressure of the touch or the quality of the approach or whatever. There's dissatisfaction. The mind is like, nah, not interested. And so sometimes that is literally logistical of like, okay, help me understand my own body so that I can communicate that with my partner and how I want to be touched. Sometimes it's, you know, I get these couples, these younger couples that did not have premarital sex, and they think it's going to be really easy once they get married and once they start having sex, and it's going to be like glorious, and it's not. It's awkward and it's uncomfortable and it's painful and it's embarrassing and all these things. And so sometimes it's about unpacking what were your expectations and what is your skill and what is your understanding of your body and your partner's body. And so we have to kind of figure all that out, unpack it, and kind of lower their defenses so that they can actually like really take a hard look at like what's happening that's making it unsatisfactory. Dissatisfaction oftentimes also comes in with couples of all ages and all histories, where they've been having sex, but it's just never been that good. They didn't like the way their partner approached them. They didn't like the positions. They didn't like, oftentimes from women, I hear that they just don't get enough stimulation, or they don't get proper stimulation. And so they feel like it becomes a chore. They're trying to participate in this, you know, couples activity that should be fun but isn't. And so we really have to look at the actual mechanics of what is happening. Sometimes that is literally, how do the bodies line up and how do they position? But oftentimes it's all the dance around it before you get to actual like body to body contact. So that's like, how did you speak to me today? And what is my mind doing? Like, are we in a safe place with each other? Are we having a fun time? Like, is there fun banter? Some couples really, you know, love the humor piece of it to open them up and to make them feel connected to one another. So different couples need different things, and dissatisfaction with sex is oftentimes a relational issue, right? So if you think about what primes you to be in a space where you are receptive to sexual play or kind of wanting, you know, you don't just shift. I mean, some people can just shift into that space really easily and want to like have a quickie, you know, but many people aren't wired that way, especially women. They want more story. They want more interaction. And so the dissatisfaction piece shouldn't be that big of a surprise. It's just an extension of the relational piece. And so they often don't know exactly what they want. They just know they don't like what they have. And so starting to cultivate that erotic template of like, what do you like? What primes you to be in a place where you are receptive and interested and playful and creative and wanting, right? That takes some practice because we don't spend a lot of time as adults in that space. As kids, we play quite easily, but as adults, we don't. And so having some facilitation, having a sex therapist help walk you through what takes you there. Have you ever even been there? You know, you might have a past experience that you can pull from that was really positive, but you might not. This might be the first time you're actually really having this conversation with yourself or with your partner and or with a therapist who is sitting there listening and also trying to help you tease apart, like, what is the problem here? How did we get here? Also under the category of dissatisfaction is mismatched desire. And so that comes in quite often where one partner seems to be having much more interest in sex than the other partner. And sometimes that's just because that's how they're wired and one, you know, gets there more easily and is more interested in that. And oftentimes, again, it goes back to that earlier point of the low desire partner is just dissatisfied with their sex life. It's not that they're truly a low desire person. It's that they're not interested in this type of sex. And so it's delicate, right? Having that conversation can sometimes feel really fraught because you don't want to hurt your partner's feelings. It's embarrassing. It can be to say all this stuff out loud. And yet the willingness to actually honestly say, this is what I like and what I don't like. And so the mismatched desire, I find that sometimes isn't truly this huge gap in what each partner wants. It's how do we help you understand what your partner does want? And then where can we match that with what you want so that we can be on the same page generally and move forward with a sex life that feels satisfying and gratifying to us both. So, you know, part of it is cultivating and articulating what you do want so that your partner has an opportunity to try to give that to you. Okay, so the next area, which comes in quite often as well, especially with, I would say, women over 40, is disinterest. So there's just plain disinterest. And some of this loops back to dissatisfaction, but not necessarily, because disinterest can happen at any place in the life cycle. But it's considered low desire. And that, you know, often in women just kind of involves like a lack of sexual interest and willingness to be sexual is sort of how we call it. There's an avoidance that comes out of that of just like, I don't want to deal with this. And that can be certainly if they're busy with life, you know, they're tending to family or they're working a stressful job, sex kind of falls to the bottom of the priorities because it's not a need, it's really a want. And if there's other more important or stressful things that are coming first, that's going to take priority. So sex oftentimes gets kind of deprioritized, it gets pushed down. And it's hard to justify that, or it's hard to prioritize that when you've got other things that are literally screaming at you. So sometimes seeing a sex therapist is about understanding what your priorities are. Sometimes it's like women come in sometimes and say, I feel like there's something wrong with me because I don't want sex. Well, so then I get really curious about what's going on in your life. How, you know, how stressful is it? What other things are influencing you? And what is your relationship to pleasure? Because sex is about pleasure. It's about fun. It's about expression. It's about a lot of things that are more in the relaxation, vacation sort of realm. And so if those things don't feel like a priority to you, you're going to be really hard pressed to care about sex unless your partner is guilting you and saying like, hey, I'm disappointed in our sex life. So for you to feel inherent interest, you have to decide that there is a purpose or a function or a benefit of sex that is important enough to you to want it. Because you're not going to just inherently, I mean, you can, yes, and some of us inherently want it, but many of us don't. And so when you're coming in to see a sex therapist, the disinterest can't just be remedied. Like, there's no pill that's going to suddenly just make you want it. Rather, it's got to be a decision to see the value in it. And so understanding your avoidance, understanding the reasons why you don't want it are important. I also see disinterest coming when there is relational tension. So when a couple comes in and there's low interest or disinterest, sometimes that can be, say, post-affair. I see quite a few couples who have had sex addiction or infidelity or stuff like that happen. And after that, it's really hard to trust your partner. If this person has been the source of pain, it is really hard to then turn towards them with desire. It's hard to know that they are the one that you are going to be vulnerable with and allow in to your heart and your body again. And so we have to look at, you know, what else is at play relationally. Resentment also doesn't have to do with infidelity. Resentment can just be resentment because maybe the responsibilities don't feel shared in the partnership, or maybe you feel like your partner is a selfish lover. You know, like, there can be a million reasons why there's relational tension that is causing disinterest. There's, you know, there's plenty of day-to-day things that happen in a partnership that cause tension, frustration, distancing, you know, just general conflict. And so that's also the secret of sex therapy. Isn't always about sex, you know, it's a relational piece too, and it can be relational to partner or relational to self. So that sort of segues into stress. Of course, if you're feeling lots of stress, you're likely to feel low interest, but also body stuff. Women are just so connected to the culture, and the messages that we get around body really impact women. And so if you're feeling frustrated or shamed about your body, you're likely to have lower desire. It's just true, because it's hard to override that. It's hard to want to see your body or have someone else feel or, you know, see or touch your body if you dislike your body, you know. So there's likely going to be some avoidance happening there. So we have to look at all these pieces. And when I'm sitting with individuals or couples, I'm trying to look at the whole person. What does your life look like? What are your priorities? When, if ever, do you play? When are you in a relaxed state? Do you feel like yourself when you're with your partner? Do you know how to ask for things? So basic things, right? Do you know how to advocate for yourself in the world? Because if you don't know how to do that, you're likely not doing it in the bedroom. So sex therapy is about so many things rather than just the actual mechanics of sex. It's about your relationship to your body. It's about your relationship to pleasure. It's about your relationship to your partner. It's about your relationship to culture too. Like, what are your messages around sex and sexuality and being a sexual being? And like, do you feel entitled to that? So I love this work. I have to say, when people come in and I do an intake that includes some of these questions about sexual functioning and sexual satisfaction, and then I just sit down and start to unpack, like, what's going on and what do you want and what do you envision? And then I have to meet them where they're at, because some people are so shy, they're so shut down. I've had many couples who are just really, really frightened and like don't know how to talk about this stuff with each other, certainly, but also with a stranger. And so we have to kind of go slowly. Now, other couples come in and they are like raring to go, right? They've had a great sex life and it's either they want it to be even better, so they want to go to another level, which might look like kink, or it might look like polyamory, you know, bringing in others. It might look like opening the relationship. Or I've had couples who've been together a long time and feel like things are kind of boring and they have drifted apart and they don't know kind of how to revive it. And maybe they, you know, they've had different functioning in their bodies and they're wondering, what does our sex life look like going forward? So I'm just meeting the client where they are and negotiating with them and themselves, like helping them kind of like decide for themselves what are their priorities in this journey at this time, because it very well could change. So that's a little snapshot. And I have been asked to give more examples. So I guess I'll give you two now. Before we jump into that, I actually wanted to tell you a little bit about the Pleasure Circle. So I'm starting my next group in September. You can sign up now at pleasureproject.us. It's 6 weeks, it's for women only, and it is magic. So there's going to be about 6 to 10 women. It's going to be on Zoom, so you can do it even if you're traveling, wherever you are. And each week I do a little mini lecture, kind of like the one I did here. And then I've got exercises to sort of apply it to you, to deepen it to your own experience, for you to understand what is going on with me and how can my sex life be better. So each week, different topic, and I give a little lecture, I give some exercises to deepen it, and then we talk about it as a group. And I know that seems scary, talking about it in front of other women, but I'm telling you, it is so helpful to hear from other women. They will give you ideas, they will also you know, talk about their own experiences, and everybody benefits from it. I the feedback has been awesome from the first few groups that I've run. Women really feel like, oh my gosh, I understand things so much better and I feel so much more confident in my own sexual profile and what I want and how to do this. So I would love to have you participate. And all you got to do is head over to pleasureproject.us. You can sign up there and register now and save your spot. And I look forward to having you join us. So the first couple I'm going to tell you about are Mirnaz and Talim. This couple are in their 30s. They are both Muslim. They are cisgender. And they came in because they had not had sex in their 8-year marriage. And they were both feeling a lot of sadness about that. They had been sort of avoiding it and both just feeling really confused and unsure about how to proceed. And both of them had certain types of trauma. So for him, you know, I would say he had low self-esteem, even though he was quite brilliant. He had no experience heading into this marriage. He had a lot of confusion. He had some trauma around his circumcision. So he had some issues with his feelings about his genitals. With her, with Mirnaz, it was that she had pain with sex. She also didn't understand her body at all. She didn't know how to pleasure herself. She didn't understand where things were located. She couldn't give direction. So some of it, you know, it was happening on all three levels of the biological in terms of pain, the psychological in terms of self-esteem, and the interpersonal in terms of communication with partner. So some treatment highlights of working with them. First of all, I had them read Come As You Are because I do love that book, and it was shocking to both of them, but they were really interested and it was very normalizing for them. I did EMDR with both of them separately. So we targeted some of their core traumas about their body, about their fears, about their previous attempts at interaction with one another. And so we just cleared some of those memories so that they could be present. Now, Mirnaz was really afraid to even talk about genitals, let alone look at them. So I had to back way up with her. I actually brought in an illustrated book to show her what the parts look like, right? And pictures were going to be too graphic. I knew that would turn her away. So instead, I showed her this illustrated book, and that was really helpful, and I let her take it home and really look through it. Then next, we worked with dilators for her. So we started really super small. I've got a set that is from Intimate Rose that has 10 different sizes, and you can order the first five or the second five in terms of size. And so this started for her at a very small size, and that was by herself. She had never used lube before, so I had to encourage her to buy some lube and then just to start to play outside initially and then internally eventually, so that she could start to learn her own body. Because there's no way she was going to be able to give him direction if she didn't have a sense of what she even liked. So eventually, when she started to build up some confidence in herself, then we started to introduce sensate focus between them. And we also started to talk about some of the myths that they had lived with their whole life and the fears, rational or irrational, they had about sexual contact. They're so afraid of being pregnant. They definitely did not want pregnancy. So we just kind of talked through and really kind of myth busted some of those things and normalized. And they were so delightful. They just really found each other in this work together, and it was so heartening. So I would call them a success. The second couple I want to talk about today, I will give them a name, is Lori and Ed. They are both in their early 30s, professionals, Caucasian, and the presenting issue was frustration around their sex life. Ed is, I would say, securely attached. He is pretty calm and centered. He was patient and interested in having their sex life be better, but not demanding of it. Now, Lori, on the other hand, had a lot of shame that she brought into the relationship around sex, historically, as well as within the partnership. She also had issues with depression. She had incredible stress related to parenting. And I would say she was avoidant. She was anxious avoidant, actually, because she had a lot of anxiety about closeness, but also a desire for closeness. So the treatment looks very different from the other couple. Initially, we definitely just did some normalizing and unpacking. Eventually, I did refer Lori to her own therapist because she needed to do some individual work, specifically some EMDR, and that was around lowering her feelings around shame and worthlessness because that was definitely getting in the way. So that was sort of a parallel process to our couples work. And the couples work also included some bibliotherapy, which is having them read a book and then talking about it collectively. I love Come As You Are. It's such a strong read for so many couples because it really normalizes a lot about women in particular, women's sexuality, but sexuality, it's helpful for both parties, I would say. So we went through that book together. We talked about what profiles they each related to and what specific things were showing up for each of them. We also did some troubleshooting around childcare. They had kids were a big stressor, and so this doesn't seem like sex therapy, but it's part of the mix, right? If there's exhaustion or if there's resentment around childcare and balancing that, then we had to sort of do some attention to that. That's also some work for her individual therapy, but it was part of our work together. You have to address the obstacles in order to free somebody up to feel like they want to be sexual. Eventually, we introduced some self-stimulation for Lori because she hadn't had that, and she had a lot of aversion to being touched and certainly to penetrative sex. And so we started to just help her kind of carve out time for herself to have some relationship to her own body, to understand her own pleasure preferences, and then started to introduce that in a very low level way between them. I love sensate focus. Again, very helpful for folks that haven't touched in a while or have a lot of trepidation around interaction. And so that was really helpful for this couple. And so their work, we were together for also about a year, I think. And eventually their interactions got more playful, more light. They were able to try different things. And she had a lot of willingness around certain, when certain parameters were met, she was more willing. And Ed was just happy that things changed and lightened, and that the general mood of the family was also better. So they're just another example, totally different profile, but of couples that help, they got help through sex therapy. So it's not exactly like exactly about sex, but it can definitely have sex be a component of it as well as the general picture. So if you're thinking about it, if you're wondering if this is right for you, please reach out. I'm happy to talk to you. I've got, like I said, the pleasure circle is a wonderful option for the ladies who are considering, like, how can my sex life be better? What is it about my history? What is it about my inner dialogue? What is my resistance about? And helping unpack that and streamline that. I also have a team of awesome therapists that do this work. So I'm happy to make referrals, and let's figure out what's going to be best for you. So I look forward to hearing your questions, and if you have topics you want to hear, please, please put those in the comments or direct message me, and we will address them in a future episode. Okay, take care.